No one could tell me whether he would be my ultimate destiny, but I had always sensed the end between us. Somewhere in the landscape of my life, Nobu would always be present. But could it really be that of all the lessons I'd learned, the hardest one lay just ahead of me? Would I really have to take each of my hopes and put them away where no one would ever see them again, where not even I would ever see them? Go back to the Okia, Sayuri, Mameha told me. Prepare for the evening ahead of you. There's nothing like work for getting over a disappointment. I looked up at her with the idea of making one last plea, but when I saw the expression on her face, I thought better of it. I can't say what she was thinking, but she seemed to be peering into nothingness with her perfect oval face creased in the corners of her eyes and mouth from strain. And then she let out a heavy breath and gazed down into her teacup with what I took as a look of bitterness. A woman living in a grand house may pride herself on all her lovely things, but the moment she hears the crackle of fire, she decides very quickly which are the few she values most. In the days after Mameha and I had spoken, I certainly came to feel that my life was burning down around me. And yet, when I struggled to find even a single thing that would still matter to me after Nobu had become my Dana, I'm sorry to say that I failed. One evening, while I was kneeling at a table in the Ichiriki tea house, trying not to think too much about my feelings of misery, I had a sudden thought of a child lost in the snowy woods. And when I looked up at the white-haired men I was entertaining, they looked so much like snow-capped trees all around me that I felt for one horrifying moment I might be the sole living human in all the world. The only parties at which I managed to convince myself that my life might still have some purpose, however small, were the ones attended by military men. Already in 1938, we'd all grown accustomed to daily reports about the war in Manchuria, and we were reminded every day of our troops overseas by things like the so-called Rising Sun lunchbox, which was a pickled plum in the center of a box of rice, looking like the Japanese flag. For several generations, Army and Navy officers would come to Gion to relax. But now they began to tell us with watery eyes after their seventh or eighth cup of sake that nothing kept their spirits up so much as their visits to Gion. Probably this was the sort of thing military officers say to the women they talk with, but the idea that I, who was nothing more than a young girl from the seashore, might truly be contributing something important to the nation. I won't pretend these parties did anything to lessen my suffering, but they did help remind me just how selfish my suffering really was.